He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary to one to the other, so you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. So you see him being filled with the Spirit, guided by the Spirit, led by the Spirit. That's the same way Jesus walked, and that's the same way you're supposed to walk, led by the Spirit. Everybody say, I'm an heir of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. And I'm led by the Holy Ghost, and I'm going to stay full of the Holy Ghost. So you can walk in the Spirit. What is walking in the Spirit? It is walking under the direction, the guidance, the promptings of the Holy Spirit. It's really walking in love if you want to really break it down. If you walk in love all the time, you will be in the Spirit. Might as well just live there. Hallelujah. Walk in the Spirit means walk in love. Walk in truth. Walk in the light. Hallelujah. Everybody say, I can walk in the Spirit. Just like Jesus. Didn't y'all see Jesus doing it? He demonstrated it. He got full of the Holy Ghost, and then he was led by the Spirit. Now, how many of y'all can be led by the Spirit? Then if you can be led by the Spirit, you can walk just like he walked. Hallelujah. I'm supposed to walk led by the Spirit, full of the Holy Ghost. I'm supposed to stay full. How do you stay full? You stay full in prayer. You stay full in obedience. You speak to yourself in psalms, in hymns. You worship God, spiritual songs, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Hallelujah. By submitting yourself to each other. Submission is a part of it. Hallelujah. Praise God. So everybody say, I can walk in the Spirit. Just like Jesus. I can stay full of the Holy Ghost, and I can be led by the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God wants to lead you. He wants to empower you. This is not something you got to beg God for. This is just something that you need to say, okay, Lord, let's go. I'm ready. Lead me. Don't let me make a mistake. Lord, lead me right now. I want to be led. You just got to have the want to. I want to be led by the Spirit of God. And I'm giving God the, okay, Lord, go ahead and do it. Lead me now. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and lead me now. And the Holy Ghost take over the reins. He started leading you. Hallelujah. Praise God. That's how Jesus walked. He walked by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Number two, Jesus walked in divine wisdom. Hallelujah. I'm going to show you, you can walk in the same wisdom he had. See, when the Bible says that if we say that we abide in him, we ought also to walk even as he walked. I'm just giving you a few pointers on how he walked. He walked in the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. He stayed full of the Holy Ghost. Number two, he walked in the wisdom of God. Amen. Let me give you some scriptures on it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show you him. And then I'm going to show you you. Let's look at Jesus. Matthew 13:54 says, and when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence hath this man this wisdom and these mighty works? They say, wait a minute, where did this man get all his wisdom from? So Jesus was walking in the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. Let me give you another witness, Mark 6:2. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, from whence have this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hand? He said, who gave him, this time they say, who gave him all his wisdom? How many of y'all know where real wisdom comes from? Come from your fellowship with the Father. Real wisdom come right out of the Word.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center. I trust that you've received the word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $5 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship services. We're located at 4701 Lee Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, just 2 blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you.
KAYT and KQJOFF. We're five cities strong all day long. Believe it. We've got Louisiana on lock.
May I have your attention?
The best of the old. The best of the new. The best variety in music.
The best variety in music.
Different
music.
Tons of music.
Awesome.
On. Online anytime. 24/7 at www.kaytfm.com.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's word for your life today.
Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. And our reader is going to read, beginning at Luke 25 through 35, and then you'll be able to go back through those scriptures with me. Just a few things I want to highlight, but I want you to get this portion of the scripture. Luke 2, verse 25 through 35.
Verse 25. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Yes.
And the Holy Ghost was upon him. Verse 26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Verse 27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, 29, the Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. Mm-hmm. Verse 30, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. Verse 32, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Verse 33, and Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Verse 34, and Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35, yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In the presence of the Lord. Before us today in the text, we have a great example of how when you are dedicated and you are righteous before God, walking in the word, the will, and the way of God, there are many things God can and will do through you, will do for you, and will do to you. And it's important to understand this figure before us that introduces the Christ child is a man by the name of Simeon. And Simeon was a devout man and a just man whom for many, many years served the Lord faithfully. Now, one of the things I need you to see and understand in the text is that Simeon was one who lived a life circumspectly for the Lord. One who was well received by men because he treated all men with the utmost of respect. But in the midst of treating men with that respect, he also honored God highly above anything and anybody. It was clear his life belonged to the Lord. Wouldn't it be so wonderful if the people of God still like that today, that in a community you could pick out a child of God, you could see him, not even never having met him before, but know through his or her actions, through the glow of God all over their faces, the way they handle themselves, the way they handle others, the way they walk, mindful of the fact that God and man are both watching them. And their desire is to live for God. Simeon was such a man, and in that, God gave him a special privilege. Now, one of the things I want you to note, in 25, 26, and 27, the Holy Spirit appears everywhere Simeon is. It's a wonderful thing to have the Holy Ghost to be where you are, and more especially for you to be where the Holy Ghost is. I want the reader to read again 25. I want you to see this, and I want to walk through and bring out a couple points.
Verse 25. Mm-hmm. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon.
Now wait, he was where?
In Jerusalem.
Jerusalem, that's the city of Zion. That's the dwelling place of God. That's where you found Simeon at. Continue.
And the same man was just and devout.
Yes.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel.
Waiting for the consolation of Israel. The consolation of Israel was the promised Christ. The word consolation was a twofold word. One was for counselor, the other part was for comforter. And Jesus Christ, as you know, Isaiah reveals that he is a wonderful counselor. And he's already the comforter. And when he was getting ready to leave, he said, I will give you another comforter. So these two words make up the Christ child. Continue.
And the Holy Ghost was upon the Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost was what?
Was upon him.
Was upon him. Keep that in mind. Go on.
26. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost.
Hold up. It was revealed unto him by who?
The Holy Ghost.
Isn't it good to get your news straight from heaven? Isn't it good to get a revelation from the Lord that man, you don't have to hear second-handed from him when you are a servant of the Most High God? Isn't it good to know? See, you got to realize back in those days, they didn't have a Bible like we have. Mm-hmm. They could not read the revelation of God. They had to receive the revelation of God in person. It had to be live and direct from God through the Holy Ghost, and that's how he received it. Continue on.
That he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ.
He should not see death before he has seen the Lord's Christ. All right, continue.
27. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. Mm.
And he came how?
By the Spirit.
He came by the leading of God's Spirit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, that's good for right now. Now let me help you understand something. The hand of the Spirit of God is upon him. The Spirit of God reveals to him that he's not going to die till he sees the Lord's Christ. And then the Spirit leads him into the temple before Mary and Joseph gets there with the child. Can I tell you, when you're spirit led and spirit fed, you will never be behind time. You'll always be before or right on time to get every revelation that God wants to give to you. Simeon is a prime example of how when you walk, talk, and flow in the things of God, God will never let things slip upon you. Now here's what he had. He had, one, the presence of God, because the hand of the Lord of his Spirit was on Simeon. He had the presence. But not only that, he had something even greater than God's presence in his life. He had the purpose of God for his life. Do you know how many people of God today walk around without understanding their purpose? You know, you no matter how desirous you are of doing the will of God, the best way to do God's will is to know God's purpose for your life. Because when you know God's purpose, you'll know that everything that you do either leads you into that purpose or leads you from that purpose. When you know the purpose of God for your life, you make sure that friends, associates, people you come in contact with, people that you have friendships and fellowship with, all have to understand that you know where you're going, you know how to get there, and you know what your purpose is once you're there. In other words, you got to help folk understand, you either here to help me or to hinder me. And it's clear that you're only accepting folk who are going to help you get where or do what God has called you to do. Simeon was such a man. And the power of the knowing of his purpose made it all the better to be able to be where God wanted him to be, when God wanted him to be, and do what God wanted him to do. He received a promise from the Holy Ghost that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. That's Jesus Christ. Now, he had been, like all good Jews, waiting for the consolation of Israel. This consolation who would be a light to the Gentiles, who sat in darkness, who wanted a savior, who was betwixt and between polytheistic gods, multiple gods. They wanted a single God, the God of the universe. They wanted that God who created the world, that God who was supreme ruler of the world. They wanted him, but they could not know him outside of Jesus. And so Jesus would be the light that shineth in them that revealed God. And so the Gentiles were waiting for the consolation. The Jews were waiting for the glory of God. Jesus is the glory of God. Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. Jesus is the one that God would use to bring mankind back to him in a right relationship. So they all were looking for Jesus. Jesus. I love the fact that because Simeon knew his purpose, that God would not let him die. Why? Because he was devoted to God. He had prayed for God's son to come
in his lifetime. You see, my brothers and sisters, God hears our prayers and he answers us when our whole heart is turned toward him. He knew he would see the Son of God one day, but if it may have happened that God would have taken him before his son got here, he would have seen him in the aftermath of God's son coming to earth. But God wanted to reassure him of his heart's desire to see him before he died. And the Holy Ghost promised him, you won't go anywhere till the Lord's Christ comes. Do you know what that does for a person who has a promise that you won't leave here till your purpose is complete? Do you know what that does for somebody who know who they are and whose they are and what God has called them to do, to know that no matter what happens, they ain't going nowhere till the Lord is through with them? Do you know the holy boldness that they walk in and how they are free to express the love and the power of God, knowing that God has made them a promise that death and hell can't do anything to them till God says it's over? And when it's over, he's leaving this hell-fired world with all of its demonic powers and forces to leave here to go to that place that God has prepared for his children. So he wants us to know, listen, when you know your purpose, you don't have to be here 969 years like Methuselah. You can be here for 33 and a half years and do so much that all people can do afterward is talk about what you've done. Jesus did not die before his purpose was completed. And so Simeon here, in these next few verses, listen, he's received the presence of God. He's received the purpose of God. But also, I want you to see something else. When Simeon sees Jesus, he had never met Mary and Joseph. But when they walked into the temple, God's Spirit said, there he is. He takes young Jesus and he holds Jesus in his hands and he blesses God. He blesses God. He holds the Savior of the world in his hand. What an honor God gives to him for his faithfulness to God. He didn't just let Jesus him see Jesus, he lets him hold Jesus. He lets them pronounce the blessing of God upon Jesus in this world and give God praise for him. Then he gives him back to Mary. And he says, now, Lord, I thank you. You can let your servant go now. It's fixed. It's finished. You have done this thing publicly, not privately. You've let me be honored by, in this place of your house, handle your son to even give me the privilege of being able to see and to touch the Son of Almighty God. When he gives Mary her son back, there are some things that he says to her. He literally, in a prophetic word. He was a prophet, but he spoke a prophetic word to Mary and Joseph that blew their minds. Read 34 and 35.
Verse 34. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel.
Listen. This child said this to his mother, is set
The word set means that God has placed dispensationally in time to reveal certain realities that would happen. He, God, would through this child, Jesus Christ, bring down a whole lot of folk who are hypocrites in the church of God, the priests, all those folk who claimed they were looking for the Messiah, but when he came, they did not receive him. That Jesus would tear down a whole lot of these false realities built up in the name of God. Listen, church, everything that's placed the name of God on it don't have the reality of God in it. Every church that's open in his name does not follow his word, his rule, or his way. And so therefore, just because you have God's name on it doesn't mean you have God's claim on it. God was setting straight the church that had been taken out of his hand, out of his order, out of his way. You remember when Jesus went in the temple, he said, the house which is called the house of prayer, ye have turned it into a den of thieves. The falling of many, but then on the other hand, the rising of many. You see, one thing I love about God is he knows how to make a crooked place straight. He knows how to bring the wicked low and the humble raised. God knows how to be the equalizer and how to set in order those things that are out of order. When you let God have his way, listen, and even when you choose not to, you need to know this too will pass.
Glory.
You might have it your way right now, but that won't be for long, because God is ultimately going to have his way. And Simeon was prophesying that from the cradle to the cross, Jesus Christ would put in order the things of God before he left planet Earth. Now, continue on with the prophets.
And for a sign which shall be spoken against. Verse 35. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also.
Listen, this son, he's going to be talked about. He's going to be talked badly about. Why? Because they won't believe that he's the Son of Almighty God. Why? Because he came through a virgin, which they did not believe was a virgin. And so therefore, they're like, they knew Mary, they knew Joseph. Now how all of a sudden he's going to be the Son of God when we know who his parents are? And they're earthly folk. They're not gods. And so they would talk down upon him as not being the Messiah of God. And the things that were said were going to affect Mary greatly. Continue reading.
That the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
That the thoughts of many hearts shall be revealed. Thank you, Rita. Listen, my brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, from the cradle, was sent to redeem mankind. I'm almost through. Hold on here with me. And then 30 years of living a life worthy and circumspect of God his Father. 30 years of walking with men, talking with men, living with men, showing men who he was underneath the skin. But at the age of 30, God called him into public ministry, and he was baptized in the Jordan of John. John, who thought he was unworthy to baptize, Jesus says, suffer it to be so, John. And he baptized him. And when he baptized him, all of heaven came together. God spoke from heaven. The Holy Spirit came down, lit on his shoulder, representing the Holy Ghost, who was now upon Jesus without measure. And the Son of God, who had been obedient to God,
to do this, not for repentance, because he had never sinned, but to show.